Floyd Wicks was either formerly a vice chairman of American States Water Company or on the New York Stock Exchange. He was former president and chief CEO, actually. He was there from 1992 to 2008, implementing strategic growth and management of American Water States Company subsidiaries. And I have some more information about this term. There's something in California. The California subsidiary is Golden State Water Company, the state's second largest private water company, serving in 75 communities in California. We're lucky that he lives locally, and he's on his third term as member of the Montecito Water Board, lending experience that's hard to come by. He's been gracious to talk with me since 2019. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Floyd Wicks.
Thank you, Mark. Always great to talk to you, and glad you're doing better.
I am. I'm recovered, and my mom was a performer. She sang. It was on in Broadway, and the show must go on. So you gotta show up. And how did I do on the introduction? Did I mess? I was looking at two things, and your introduction is so long it would take the whole segment.
It sort of sounded like a speech, but that's okay. I've been in water a long time, so the list gets longer.
How about with your wife? Are you in hot water?
No, normally I'm going to be, I'll count on at least two or three times more today, and I run the risk of also saying my wife is a vocalist as well. I didn't know your mom was in the art as well. It sounds like...
Oh, yeah, she was in show business. She was an entertainer, she sang, she had a music orchestration for a 12-piece band, she went on cruise ships. She did solo with a guitar and did a little comedy and singing and some acting.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Yeah. What did your wife do?
Well, she did a lot of solo work in various churches back in Ohio and out here in California.
And did she play the piano?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. I remember this. Yeah, I remember this. Dee Dee. Yeah. Her name is Dee Dee, right?
Yes, you've got the right gal, thankfully.
That's the same name from Modern Family. Is Dee Dee short for something?
Diana, but typically people pick up Dee Dee and they won't let loose of it. So, and she's okay with that, and so am I. It's we've been together about 45 years now, and it's been great.
Well, congratulations on your 50th. We'll have a party for you.
I'm ready. Okay.
Floyd Wicks. So, is serving on the Montecito Water Board, is that like, you know, Mark Spitz in the kiddie pool?
No, you know something? Our board is fantastic. There's different talents. There's background in finance. There's background in legal. Also in the construction type of background. So we really meld together quite well. And I can't say enough about the board. They're just fantastic people. With whom to deal, and it's been—it hasn't been the same all 8 or 9 years I've been on the board. The first couple were a little rocky because we had different board members, and there was just a lot more going on at that time. That, which is why I got on the board, and Dee Dee really encouraged me because I believe honestly she was kind of tired of me complaining to her every day about what's going on in Montecito and the water side of the business. So, and she encouraged me to run for the board, and I did. I never ran for public office in my life before, so I'm glad I did, though. It's been a real good experience.
Well,
and to help the community get back in terms of having a, frankly, a almost drought-proof water supply going forward.
Well, you know, it's not easy to come by people with the experience in a field that we need to help with the local community. So I'm really glad that you're willing to spend the time. Why don't we, since we started talking about that as our first topic, you want to just bring us up to date? I know we've talked in the past last year or a couple of years ago, we talked about the Santa Barbara desal plant sharing with Montecito, and Montecito entered into an agreement to buy 40% of water needs for Montecito. Does that all sound familiar? Was that last year or 2 years ago?
It's probably a couple of years already. I can't believe how time flies, but
what's the latest?
Actually, I was at the time we signed the agreement with Santa Barbara. I was board president, and I really insisted on a 50-year contract. And our board went along with that, and the city went along with it. And we want to make sure that this community doesn't run dry. And we're drawing from the biggest reservoir in the world. That reservoir will not run dry like the one down in Palisades, unfortunately.
Are you talking about Kachuma?
No. It's right at our doorstep here. It goes clear from our shoreline clear to Japan. It's a fairly big reservoir. And one, frankly, it's rising from what we hear. So it's as drought-proof as anything in the entire world, and I can't say enough about the source.
So the 50-year agreement, so the Santa Barbara desal plant is running, is it at 100%? Everyone's getting water from it, Montecito, Santa Barbara, Summerlin?
Well, it's off from time to time, for maintenance and so on, but our agreement calls for a steady-as-you-go rate of water purchased, basically the same volume every month. So in terms of and it's been going now for probably about 3 years, we've been on that basis, and it's equivalent to about what the average delivery of state water would otherwise have been, if that makes sense. The water district owns about 3,300 acre feet of state water, and the contract with Santa Barbara is for about 45% of that number, which is currently the average delivery of state water. About 1,430 acre feet is our deal with Santa Barbara.
So we got this year. My guest Floyd Wicks, he's currently on the Montecito Water Board, but he's been working in this field for how many years would you say you were in water?
I would say at over 55 years.
Wow. And work for some, national companies. So we didn't have a wet year. We replenished some groundwater. I don't know what's going on with our reservoirs besides the Pacific Ocean. What you're saying is if things do get lean from our reservoirs and state water gets lean, you think this Santa Barbara desal plant will prevent catastrophe?
Absolutely. And we're looking at even more than that during times. This, what it allows us to do during months like January, February, where water demands are low, we don't have to use hardly any other source other than the desal water coming in, which allows the other sources to stay intact. Namely, in other words, the storage doesn't get depleted as quickly. And in some cases, we're now looking at injecting water below ground when there's plenty of water in the San Ynez Valley where Jameson Lake spills. We take some of that water and then put it below ground for future use as well. So it's just further drought-proofing concepts that we, as a board, have been really addressing.
Now, for every good idea and for every good thing, there's always detractors. I know, Israel in the Middle East has done a lot with desalination, but
yeah,
people are concerned. I don't know if it was you or my geologist friend was talking about how large the ocean is, and some people are worried about the salt content because you're throwing a concentration of salt back in. Have there been studies to either prove or disprove that it has a negative impact?
Yes, actually, a fairly recent study was done by down in Carlsbad, the largest desal plant in the country, compared to Santa Barbara, which is about 3 million gallons a day in Santa Barbara, but their 3,100 acre feet relates roughly to 3 million gallons a day. The one in Carlsbad was is producing 50 million gallons a day. And the recent study that they've had with offshore discharging of brine shows no environmental impact to the ocean. It's such a huge body of water. And what you're doing essentially is taking water initially that has 3.5% salt, 96.5% pure water. That's what the ocean is. Most people don't look at it that way. They say, oh, it's got all this salt. Well, it does, but it's 3.5% salt, 96.5% pure water. The brine is double the amount of salt, so it's 7% salt, 93% pure water. So it's not as gigantic of a mountain as many people make it. I don't know if I'm making sense. But
boy, that makes a lot of sense. You probably told me this before. Of course, I forgot it. Because I think in people's mind, you know, you're taking out the salt of all this water, so the brine must be all salt. It must be 90% salt or 50% salt. But it's only 7%. And that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, and it's easier to relate that to people that don't really understand the, you know, the concepts behind desalination of ocean water. But basically, Santa Barbara, this is a good example because it's right in our backyard. In order for them to have 3 million gallons a day of treated ocean water, they have to bring in to shore double that amount. So they pump in literally 6 million gallons a day of ocean water. 3 million of that goes right back out to the ocean as the brine. That's where you get the doubling of the salt.
Mm.
So, and then 3 million stays, of course, on shore. And that's basically the simple process of what's called reverse osmosis membrane filtration. That's the plant treatment process in Santa Barbara and Carlsbad and basically in Israel as well.
Wasn't there a Sherlock Holmes novel called The 7% Solution?
Good Lord. I don't know, but I would not be surprised, well, knowing how much you read and know about the history.
I can't say if it was 7, but there definitely was a Sherlock Holmes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. I'm a huge Sherlock Holmes fan. My guest, Floyd Wicks, the waterman of Montecito, been in the business for over 55 years. So what is the Santa Barbara producing 3 million gallons a day of water, Carlsbad producing 50 million gallons a day of water? That's just hard to fathom. Is the Santa Barbara at its maximum at 3 million gallons a day?
It is under the current portfolio of what they have on site. The facilities are designed up to 10 million gallons a day. The intake piping can bring in that much, which frankly you have to bring in 20 million to produce 10. But they have it set up in modular fashion to add if needed.
And would you see that happening?
I don't know. There are other possibilities for not just Santa Barbara, but for every place along the coast that I'm involved in that as well. But there are other options out there that may actually be less costly than an onshore plant. A number of companies are looking at providing desalinated ocean water for drinking by going offshore and bringing in only treated water. You treat it offshore and leave the brine out there. Don't bring it on shore and then take it back out with a second pipeline.
Now let me ask you to pause for a second. Richard, can you turn my mic off for a moment? I need to stand up. Back. I just decided I would like to stand up here for a minute. And when I first trained in radio in November 7th or November 8th, 1998, I watched Chris Cullen do a broadcast, and he stood the whole time for some reason. Okay, so you segued in to offshore and keeping the brine even more distant from the shore, and that's the segue into the buoy desalination?
Yes, it can be if you like, and I...
Well, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take a commercial break. And okay. then we could talk, you know, kind of shift the topic a little bit to the buoys, and then we could end our conversation with your being in a water district board meeting in Bakersfield and what's going on there with treating water for farmers. And my guest is Floyd Wicks, which Wicks has kind of a relevant to water wicking, so they named you correctly, a former CEO of American States Water, and he's locally in Montecito, and he's been on the Montecito Water Board for about 8-9 years, and you're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned, you'll be right back.